All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town?
All right, you weren't ready.
We never start right at one. Ever. Never. Must be the new dude.
Yeah, Nick, you look dumber today. What happened?
Wow.
He kissed me the finger.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's Barry, it's Joel, and the gnome known as Tyler is filling in for Nick Sciarra. An hour?
Yeah, first hour. It's funny.
I believe so, yeah.
It's
funny. Until Nick gets here.
You guys don't know, but like when we're getting ready, we usually come right up to when our mics go hot. Like we're plugging our headphones in. Joel didn't have his headphones in. Tyler's going hot. Hot. That means the mic's hot. Then it's time to start the show. Joel can't hear him. That's why I had to step in. Joel was had a tangle in his cord. He couldn't get it.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I'm having a conversation with you, we're playing charades. You're like, hot, hot,
you're talking,
hot,
and I'm pointing, and Tyler's getting in my ear going, hot, hot. I'm like, yeah, I know. That was fun.
It's just weird starting on time.
I know.
I'm not used to all this.
The guys got done early, I guess, in front of us. So there you go. We get an extra minute of talk time.
There's top-rated radio. Yes. We are here. You are here. And as we all say every day, happy to be here at part of the big show. You guys make it go. The Usual Suspects, if you want to join the program, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, where you can call and text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's at Barry is Funny. It is at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And that's at Producer T. Scott. Until further notice, until Nick Sciarra comes back from, what, the DMV?
Yeah, I think he's getting an ID.
That's
lost his. Dude, these glasses, these new glasses.
Oh, those are the new ones?
Yes. And I had them on yesterday. And so this is day two. And they made me more drunk than I was last night. And they're like messing with me. I've had a headache now for almost 24 hours.
Equilibrium stuff?
A little bit, like on the stairs, like we discussed yesterday. I'm not digging this. I was told to give it a week. Man, this is rough.
You got a week to give?
I don't know. This is...
Gotta get a crash. Get the sucks. Camel racing crash helmet on for a while.
Yeah, if I fall. But last night at our party, it was fun hanging out with everybody. And I only drank like 3 whiskey and Diet Cokes. And then I woke up with a headache. And I couldn't tell if it was because of these new glasses or because of the cheap whiskey. Because I don't know what that whiskey was.
You never had an R&R?
No.
Rich and Rare, baby.
Is it good?
Is it good?
Not at all.
I was going to say.
It's in a plastic bottle.
Well, that's what I thought.
Oh, really?
I mean,
so you can get it in a 2-liter.
Yeah. I stick to like Crown, Maker's Mark. I don't venture outside a lot when it comes to whiskey. So I just walked up and I was like, "Oh, you have whiskey? I'll take a whiskey and diet." And then I was like, "God, this is not Crown. That is for sure."
We had a lot of people here all day yesterday.
It was packed.
Yeah,
we had celebrities in the house. Larry Durker showed up. Mario Ellie showed up. Which you noticed, I got it right.
You did.
Not the
it
first
was Mario,
time.
Not Mario.
But well, the first I was like, "Hey, what's up, Mario?" Damn it, Mario, how are you? I screw it up every time. I can't help it. It's not even intentional.
He at that point he was already self conscious because he was like, "Damn, JB, won't you tell me that we were dressing up? I feel kind of naked," because he was just wearing, you know, nice pants and a shirt, a baseball hat, and we're all dressed up.
I don't think anyone's going to be like, "Oh, look at Mario Ellie. He just showed up in his gym clothes." He looked fine.
And people, people on Twitter, including Josh Rapp, were like, "Yeah, sorry, I can't make it over there." That was not an open house for the city. Yeah. That was just an open house for the clients that do business with all of Gal Media. But at the same time, it was to see the new digs because we have done some classic upgrades around this place. Got more square footage on the floor.
Yeah.
Added a little mini TV studio.
The empire is growing.
Yes.
We've got two. We've got a TV studio and we've got a video room.
Right.
And so, yeah, we're Gal Media. Y'all don't sleep on Gal. We're
Sports
expanding.
Map, Culture Map. Sports Map 94.1 FM, and then, of course, the
ESPN 97.5.
The Hammer.
We're
ESPN
killing
97.5. Yeah.
And then there's SB Nation Radio.
Right. Right. So, you know, there's a lot under one roof, and last night the roof was on fire.
That's right.
Because the roof is the ceiling, after all.
It is.
There's no way you can question it.
That's what I hear.
And then I asked you when you got home last night, did you watch the gold medal game in hockey?
No. I went straight to bed. My eyes hurt, three whiskeys, and I was like, I'm tired. I'm done. That's a lot of talking. Because we were on the show from 1 to 4, and then from 4 till 8, it was mingling the entire time and talking. I could tell I was like,
well, don't
mentally
forget,
spent.
We also had a 12 to 2. So, but from we were on from the time we walked in the door yesterday until about 8 o'clock.
Well, I didn't get here until 12:40. So
you made the right call there. Yeah. I came in already dressed up. Yeah. So then it was I was immediately thrown in the fire.
And then you left early last night. As I look up, there's three people left from the on-air side of Gal. Me, Tyler, and Nick. Am I missing anyone, Tyler?
Fred was walking around.
Until like 7:15, 7:30. He wasn't here until 8.
Seven.
Well, yeah, because of his show. Right. But that was it. Everyone else was gone.
Yeah.
We were the only three that stayed until 8 o'clock. You left to like...
Then you guys are dumbasses. That's on you, not on me.
I wish
don't
I could argue
player,
with you.
Hate the game.
Yeah, I can't really argue with you about the dumbass thing, but yeah.
That's kind of like you, by the way, on the we're doing this healthy food, you know, and weight loss challenge.
Oh, here we go.
And Mo from Houston Family Nutrition shows up and shows what the spread looked like last night, and he was like, you know, Lord help me and all this stuff. And I stayed away from it, and it was tough, but I waited till I got home, then I had a salad, and Barry goes right underneath my comment and goes, I ate all of it.
Oh, man. Like,
that is encouraging to
did
all those people
see my
trying
plate?
To lose it. I did not.
I got two of the pulled pork sliders. I got a big-ass thing of the
chips
and queso. I made my own nachos on the plate. And then, yes, I got several chicken fingers with honey mustard. And then later went back and got another slider.
Not
and those
boy.
Sliders weren't tiny. So, yeah,
no,
I got
Patrick
after.
Creighton even said that.
I know.
And then Tyler told me, yeah, I'll make up for whatever you're not eating because he put the queso on the chicken fingers.
How was that, by the way?
Baller.
It was good?
Very baller,
okay.
Yeah.
That's good
self-proclaimed?
To know.
You were the champion last night of chicken fingers?
Apparently great minds think alike because Lance did it too.
Yeah.
Oh, don't even get me started on that part.
What?
The chips and the cheese. There were no tongs for the chips.
There were just two sets of tongs and the chicken fingers. I think they misappropriated.
Well, I went third. So first of all, my big ass got right in line and went third. And when I went, there were no tongs for the chips. So my first thought was, well, thank God I'm going first because there's only been two people to touch the chips before me. And I watched where they did it, and because there was a bowl of chips, and then there was kind of like this circle, like a Saturn ring of chips around the bowl,
like a catch gutter.
They both went in the bowl with the hands, and so I was like, all right, I went around the back where nobody was and grabbed my chips from there. But then the rest of the night, I was thinking, oh. And then I hear Lance was just two-handing it right into the bowl,
double dipping.
Oh yeah, he was just sitting there at the chicken
finger
station. Dipping it and oh,
he's got the boot on, the walking boot on. So he's a pirate. He's like Captain Hook. He can do whatever he wants. He's walking in double dipping.
How long does he have to wear that? Do you know?
Well, I think he got extended play because of the fact that he was tough when he got back and he quit wearing it, and then he kind of re-injured it. So now then he had to put it back on. Now he walks around here with the boot and a sock. The other foot just has a sock on. It's like, dude, how about one shoe would be cool.
Right.
You know, how difficult. It's saving you time. You only got to put one on.
Well, he's, you know.
He's Lance Zierlein.
He could do what he wants.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a fun night, man. I had a good time hanging out, just chilling, talking. So it was a good time.
It was
nice to meet a lot of the people that you hear about, the Culture Map folks, some potential sponsors, some existing sponsors.
HRP folks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He thanked us.
Yep.
We do real good at the HRP listener line and talking about it. So
to meet a lot of cool
people. We got
people.
Much love.
Yeah, and just share the love with the rest of the people that showed up because of the fact that, as Mr. Gao gracefully put it in an email, that he doesn't remember a time when they've ever gotten the ratings and the love that they're getting right now as a company. So that's good news.
Yeah, we've had a good week.
Yeah, good month. I wish people would realize it. So we're going to get going and start rolling. There's a lot to get to. The Astros open up spring training tomorrow, but that's not necessarily top of the list. There's NBA news as they get back to action. A trade in Major League Baseball. Russell Wilson is going to be in a Yankees uniform on Monday. Lots to get to, and of course, much more from you, which means if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, please give us a shout, 713-780-3776. Call or text. Hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. We are the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN. 97.5.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Barry, where do you want to go? We've got plenty of time and plenty of space to fill. We do not do poll questions. We do not do Mount Rushmore.
I think we should do a poll question. We should do a poll question that asks, should we do a poll question, yes or no? In fact, I'm going to do that right now on Twitter.
Okay.
That's our poll question.
And since the people that despise poll questions on radio but do them on social media all the time.
Leave them alone. Stop it.
And annoy the hell out of me. No. You know what? The NBA gets back at it tomorrow. This Spurs quandary. I know it's weird because that's how we get attached to our listeners because we know who the Spurs fans are out there. I thought of El Jefe immediately last night when I heard Kawhi Leonard is healthy, but he's not ready to come back yet. And Popovich has said we're waiting on him.
Well, okay, so real quick.
Yep.
Is he healthy? He has been cleared.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean that he's healthy.
So he spent all-star break in New York where the NBA Players Association has a facility with a gym, with trainers, with one of the ex-Rockets strength and conditioning and training staff members who's now full-time staff member there so he could get a second opinion. And, you know, you and I were talking in our meeting getting ready for the show and really said this is one of three things. Like, he is either still hurt. Or he's mad at the Spurs, or he's one of those guys that can't play with pain and has never felt anything like this before. Because we all know that professional athletes, look, they put their bodies through hell. And you're never going to feel as good as you did the first day you got drafted. But some guys can handle it and some guys can't.
So he's either hurt or butt hurt is what we boiled it down to.
Pretty much.
He's either pouting or his threshold for pain is really low. And even though he's been cleared, he still feels it.
Right,
so he doesn't want to play through it, or he's you know not ready to come back and or just pouting. I don't know. You would think though that a guy like Kawhi would want to prove himself again, and you know the Spurs are still in it. I mean, they're not out of
it. They're the three seed, and it's remarkable.
And they've been waiting on him, but that's the bad part is if he's gone for the year, how do you? If he doesn't come back, if he's not here for the playoffs, how bad is it going to be for the Spurs?
Well, you got the best coach maybe ever. So you know that, and from a Rockets perspective, you know, because what he's going to do is he's going to alter the offense. He's going to use the two. He's going to go double low post or high low post with Gasol and Aldridge, and it can be effective. If you're a Rockets fan, let me reemphasize, you know that can actually win you a series. Who I think that this excites more than anybody else is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Right.
Because now, instead of just hanging on to the four, they see light at the end of the tunnel where they can move all the way up to three, and they can still continue to do some things. It's going to open up a lot in an already congested and hyper-competitive Western Conference. But again, don't sleep on the Spurs as being instantaneously out of it. Now, do I think they can compete with the Rockets and the Warriors? No, but do I think that they still will be heard from because of Popovich and the players that they do have? Yes, to some degree. I think they can get out of the first round. I don't think they can go any further.
So this is a team that's lost 4 of their last 5 going into the All-Star break. They're 4-6 in their last 10.
Right.
They're not trending in the right direction.
Nope.
And I feel like that if they know that they're not getting Kawhi Leonard back, how many you've been inside the locker rooms and the Rockets in the past and with some injury issues and stuff. How much does that affect the psyche of the entire team? Is it one of those, well, I mean, we'll still try, but
some guys, and again, just like we were saying with his mindset in what's going on with his injury, a lot of guys in that locker room, when they know they're at full strength, hey, man, they're free-stroking, they're feeling good. Everybody knows, hey, there's a better-than-average chance we're going to win. But some guys sit there always with a head on a swivel and go, what? CP3's not playing tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we're doomed. You know, and that's where it can really steamroll and it can hurt you. But the other thing that's interesting is, and I don't know if you caught this, because you mentioned that they had lost a couple games before the All-Star break. Aldridge sits out the last 2 games before the break, which they lost, mm-hmm. both games. Aldridge played in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I didn't think
about
that.
That's not a very good look.
No.
You know, that's also sending a message to the Spurs Nation that the All-Star game may be more important right now than the games in the regular season. And as you mentioned, where every game is really important because you could go on a losing streak or a couple lose a game or two. Suddenly you fall from 3 or 4 to 6 or 7 because the West is really hyper competitive, as I mentioned. That should send a sign too, like this ain't the dynasty glory days of the Spurs anymore, and there might be a new trend coming.
Like, how many games do you think Kawhi Leonard is worth? How many games? Because they're
versus
10
a
back.
Replacement, or
yeah, well, they're 10 back. Are they? We know that they're probably not 10 back in the division and in the Western Conference with Kawhi Leonard on the floor. Does he make up all 10 of those games? Is this the Spurs team that's usually a half game, a game and a half out of first for most of the year behind the Warriors? Is he making up the whole 10?
Even if he played the full season, I don't think they're better than the Rockets. But I do think that where the gap would be considerable would be between 3 and the rest.
Okay.
I think
so. You think it would be a 3-team race right now?
I do. I do. And I think then they would definitely be the long shot third because I don't like all the pieces that they have to put around Aldridge and Gasol and Leonard. But I do think that they would be even more competitive. They would have a bigger gap between them and the Wolves. But, you know, the thing to me is Kawhi Leonard, best two-way player in the league. For all intents and purposes, I don't think he has anything else to prove. But this started a few weeks back with his uncle and everybody chiming in, but he's not happy. And then he says, "No, don't listen to them." Well, I don't know who we're listening to, but the fact of the matter is that somebody should say something just so that everybody, all parties involved, have a clearer understanding of what's going to happen. Because if you're the Spurs and you know he's not happy, you either got to bust your ass between now and when he becomes a free agent to say, "Hey, we're going to change everything." Or run the risk of LeBron versus Dan Gilbert kind of stuff where you're like, yeah. You know, do I try and move him before he becomes a free agent or hope he changes his mind late in the game? That's a tough call.
You know, and the other thing, when you look at this team, and you talked about earlier, you mentioned having Pop as having maybe the best coach to ever coach in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's funny because this team isn't a team that's putting up a lot of points. They're one of the lowest scoring teams. They're in the bottom third when it comes to scoring. But defensively, they're the stingiest team in the NBA. And that, to me, says a lot about the coaching. That's Pop saying, look,
no doubt.
We're not going to go out and we're not going to put up 130 or 140 in a game like some of these teams are doing. But what we can do is we can focus on our defense that we can control and then, you know, kind of hang in there. Now, from their differential ratio, they're only a 3.1, a plus 3.1. But defensively, they're giving up 98.5 points a game. There's only one other team in the NBA that's given up less than 100.
That, to your point about Popovich, he's the best in a playoff series or from game to game. He is the best coach in the league in making adjustments.
Yeah.
And that means from a personnel standpoint, when he realized Kawhi's going to be out for a while, they stopped any of their up-tempo stuff. They ran everything through Aldridge. And they become more of a half-court slow-down team because that's how they win games. But guess what? They win games. And to your point, they're missing the best defensive player in this league on the ball. And yet you give those numbers and you say, you know what? You got to tip your cap to the coach at some point on that.
Yep. No doubt. I mean, he's the fact that they still are the best defensive team without him. That's a great point.
That's why you don't want to see them in the playoffs, regardless of who it is. Because in a seven-game series, when he can point out and really scrutinize every one of your shortcomings and then start really going at them, you don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you always hear about in the NFL, well, Belichick's had 2 weeks to prepare or whatever. Pop will have time, and, yeah. he'll be able to, you know, break teams down that they're facing in the playoffs. So it's always scary when you get Pop in the Spurs.
No doubt. The only people that fear seeing the Spurs in the playoffs more than the team that's got to play them are the sideline reporters. Other than that, yeah, because that dude knows there's a reason why we talk about him the way we do, and everybody in the NBA does too, and the fact that LeBron thinks that it's not about players. The one guy that he might consider going to play for, and Chris Paul was the same way to an extent, that isn't a player, is Greg Popovich. Because they know it doesn't matter what system they ran last year. If I go play with Pop, he's going to bring the best out of me.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out. Look, for the sake of basketball, I hope Kawhi comes back at some point. But it sounded like a pretty dark cloud hanging over San Antonio with what was announced last night.
Yeah, I'm not going to feel sorry for the Spurs or the Spurs fans, though.
No.
The run,
they've had too much, like, yeah. It's would like the be Patriots like, fans, right?
I was going to say, it would be like Brady missing next year. Yeah, you're not getting any sympathy from me. Sorry, guys. Not happening.
I hope he comes back just because I saw on First Take, they had a little graphic, and it said, nobody's Spurfect.
Oh, my God.
It was terrible.
That was First Take?
Yeah.
That should have been the Last Take. They should just shut the show down right after that. That's terrible. Horrible.
Last Take wasn't great either, but
what?
That comment.
Should I be gonged for that?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a dad joke.
Oh,
I'm just letting you know. Hey, I've earned okay. the right to be able
Barry's
to judge
the king
dad
of
jokes.
Coming back at dad jokes with dad jokes.
Okay,
Glass. Me last night.
Okay,
no,
Glass.
I said
house.
I've earned. I know you're not talking to me because I've earned the right to judge dad jokes because I use them more than anybody than maybe Salisbury. So I don't care.
What dad joke did I come back at you with last night, Tyler?
You dad joked, and then I said, "Oh, congrats on your upcoming baby."
Oh. Which was a horrible dad joke.
Yeah. And then you dad joked me too.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
What did I say?
You were like, well, I also want to congratulate you because that was also a dad joke.
Oh. Well, that was just me saying, I know you are, but what am I? I didn't really exactly. dad joke. I went fifth grade on you, but I didn't dad joke.
That wasn't a solid comeback like normally you would zing him with.
Well, you know.
I was paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there were cuss words involved?
Probably.
Yeah. All right.
We're just getting involved. Started. Half hour into the big show and plenty more still to go. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. By the way, Barry with a hot new take out there on sportsmap.com talking about the NBA and the potential new playoff seeding. Check it out, and we'll cover a little bit of it when we come back before we switch gears into anything else. It is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Yo, I was a fiend before I became a teen. I melted microphones instead of cones of ice cream, music orientated. So when hip hop was originated, fitted like pieces of puzzle.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Tyler sitting in for Nick. Nick should be back by the end of the show. It's Barry and Joel as we continue to roll on. I said before the break, and I'll say it again, check out SportsMap for Barry's latest article, or you can check out his Twitter, and I'm sure he'll link it up for you, on Adam Silver and the commissioner's take during All-Star break on what should be done to improve and enhance the NBA playoffs so that they could almost guarantee that top seeds have a chance to meet in the NBA finals and not the conference finals, as the case this year would be if the Rockets and Warriors would meet. It could only be in the Western Conference finals, not the last series of the year. He suggested that the conferences still place the top 16 teams, but then at that point you reseed so that you have the best versus the worst, and then after each round subsequently, you reseed again so that you are protecting or giving the best chance to win to the highest seed.
Well, yeah, because that's the point, right? I mean, you play all year to have home field or home court advantage. And, I mean, not that I disagree 100% with the way the NCAA does it, but you've got four number ones that are spread out across brackets, and then you don't always get a 1-2 matchup until the very end. And one isn't always playing the lowest available seed. And that's kind of the point of seeding a bracket to begin with, is that you've earned the right to play the lowest ranked team.
Right. To have the best chance to win in every round.
And reseeding, as you called it.
Right.
And I think that's the best way to do it, because otherwise you might as well just stick with what you have. But the fun part of, for me, writing the article and the exercise was to go back. I went back to last year's playoffs and reseeded them and basically did what, if they were seeding a bracket as opposed to doing the conferences, what that would look like. And then I kind of went through my own bracket to see what would happen. Some of the interesting things to note, well, I'll give you what the seeding would have been. And to do tie breaks, I had to come up with a couple things, because I'm not going to go through all the rules they have. But basically, if there was a tie between two teams in the same conference, say Miami and Chicago, I used the tie break that the NBA was already using. So however they were seeded last year was how – so Chicago was ahead of Miami in the playoff seeding, so I just left it like that. Now, if there was a tie between an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference team, I used their scoring differential, so their plus-minus ratio – to kind of show that this team was actually better offensively, defensively than the other one. So that was what I used. Not saying that they would, but that's what I used. And the bracket I came up with was pretty interesting, actually. So you would have last year's playoffs. You would have had Golden State playing Miami in the first round. You'd have had San Antonio, Chicago. Houston and the Pacers would have been the first round matchup. Celtics and Milwaukee. The Clippers and the Hawks. The Jazz and the Grizzlies. The Cavs and the Thunder. Mm. And Toronto and Washington. So when you get down to those middle seeds, that 6-11, 7-10, and 8-9, pretty interesting matchups there with the Jazz and the Grizzlies, the Cavs and the Thunder. I think that those were pretty compelling. But I went through the whole bracket, and then it's funny because, well, one, you had Portland out. So Portland would have not made the playoffs had they done this. Miami would have been in. And a lot of people will say, oh, well, it's not fair. Actually, last year, the East would have had more people in the playoffs in a seeded bracket than the West.
Yeah, there was more balance in the East in terms of competitive teams.
And overall records. That would have been, it would have been 9-7, as opposed to this year, if you did it at this point before play resumes, if the playoffs started today. I hate that phrase, but if they did, the West would have 9 teams and the East would have 7. But that's that balance, though, because last year, the East had overall better teams from 1 through 9 than the West did.
Right.
So it reflected that in the brackets. But what I did is I kind of went through and you know, you can't predict injuries and so forth. But I thought, all right, if these teams played each other, all things considering, all things being equal, what would I come up with last year and this year? And last year I had Golden State and Boston in the finals based on the seedings that I just gave you. This year, as it turns out, the way that I, you know, based on just records and seedings, it would be a Houston-Golden State matchup by my record, by, you know. If Toronto played Philly and so forth, that's how it kind of broke down. So pretty interesting just to go back and look at the brackets and how that can break down. But I think they should do it. I think it's a good idea.
Well, you know, of course you're going to get the purists and the traditionalists that are going to say don't do it because of the fact that you mess with the way it's been done forever. But the fact of the matter is everything changes and evolves in life. And just like technology and everything else, as you go, sometimes you change things to for the better. Interesting that LeBron came out right away and said, easy now, which gives you another kind of a signal. He may be leaning towards staying in the East because of the fact that he knows if they leave it the way it is and he stays in the East, he's already going to be a favorite to be one of the final two in the conference, and it's going to be a pretty clean road until he gets to the finals. As opposed to if he goes to a Western Conference team or they do what the commissioner suggested, he would have a much bumpier road because that's a hell of a streak he's got going with consecutive appearances in the finals. That wouldn't be the case if they reseeded it like Adam Silver wants.
Yeah, so of course he's going to be opposed to it until he goes to the Lakers.
Exactly.
And then he's going to be like, yeah, that's cool. The big deal that when Adam Silver talked about it, the big issue I think in the sticking point was travel. And that does make a little bit of sense. in a way, because if you let's say you ended up with a Boston Portland matchup, mm-hmm. and they're at a 2-2-1-1-1 series.
Sure.
That is a lot of traveling from one coast to the other for a 2-2-1-1-1 series. I get it. But as like I said in the article, I'm not feeling sorry for these guys. These are multimillionaires on privately chartered planes. They get to sleep, they get to eat. No, earn your money. Plenty of people travel for business with crying babies and this and that and the other and do turnaround trips and put way more miles on it than these basketball players do in a year. I wouldn't feel sorry for them.
Now, and I've experienced it, and I'll tell you this. From the people that work's perspective, it's tough because you've got a lot more to do. You've got to get up and handle things, and you still got to keep your business day going and then do the games. For the players themselves, it's on them to take care of themselves, but you have every opportunity to do so. You sleep on the planes. You have food on the planes. You have food in the hotel. You can go down to a ballroom and eat whenever you want, and they make whatever you want, and they take care of you, and you can rest. It's possible,
yeah.
And you're right. And you're only talking about those kind of rare possibilities when there's a matchup like that. But for the most part, you're still going to get people centralized to be able to, within 3.5 hours or less, you're going to be able to make a trip back and forth. And I hate the 2-3-2 format. I think that really gives a team an advantage. I think the 2-2-1-1-1, you got to keep it.
I love that.
Yeah,
I like the 2-2-1-1-1. And you know what? The chances of ending up with, because that would be the furthest travel, is Boston and Portland. But I mean, Boston, Sacramento, it's kind of all the same. And there is something to be said for the fact that in the East, the longest trip, if you were to do a playoff matchup, would be Boston, Orlando. That's like a 3.5 hour flight. And Boston or Orlando, Toronto is like 3 hours and 15 minutes. But in the West, if you go from New Orleans to Portland, it's 6.5 hours. It's not that much different than Boston to Portland. I mean, New Orleans to Portland, 6.5 hours. So what's an extra 30 minutes on a 6.5 hour flight if you're going from Boston? So the West still has, you got Memphis and New Orleans. If they're playing a West Coast team, if those teams are playing each other, you've already got 6 hour flights for both teams. So
the Western Conference, you're already kind of doing it. As you said, they prioritize the playoffs. But in the regular season, ask the Rockets about their trips, either when they used to have to go to Seattle or to have to go to Utah, or even Denver because of where the airport is and because of all the things. And the other thing that people aren't taking into consideration in Toronto is customs, which is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But those are things that they would just have to spend a little bit more time factoring in, like maybe the extra day off in between when you're making those trips so that the guys can have a chance to rest a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, it's doable.
Sure. And right now, you know, when NBA basketball comes around, you get a lot of games night in and night out. You can still do that. It's just that everybody's off day would occur when another game is being played.
Right.
Now, once you get down to the finals, then that's a bit different. But they're already doing that. You can't control
right. If
Cleveland and Portland end up in the finals. There's going to be a lot of travel. They're doing it anyways.
As long as there's no back-to-backs, and as long as you get ample time when you have a series that is spread out like that,
right,
it'll be fine.
Yep.
Because, yeah, the NBA's goal is to have at least one game on every night, but that's easy in the first couple rounds. And then they even realize as they get deeper into the playoffs, you just can't do
because
that.
The whole point that to me is I don't want to see the fourth best team in the NBA, which happens to be the best team in the East, playing the best team in the West. That's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is to have the two best teams in the NBA play each other for a championship.
At a crescendo at the summit of the mountaintop,
right,
when you have the two best teams squaring off, as long as there weren't an upset.
Let's by some miracle, the Rockets represent the West and the Cavs finish second in the East but still represent them. You've got, I think most of us would be willing to say that Golden State is probably better than anybody else in the East,
mm-hmm.
but they're sitting at home. That doesn't make sense to me.
No. Okay. So check out the article, sportsmap.com. Barry just got it up there today, so it'll be there for a while, but don't sleep on it. And we'll continue to roll on with the show. Tyler in for Nick, Barry and Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I must have matched these bopping bros, but baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm Bronx set, just look at the lips.
Princess cut invisible wrists. My neck was blue. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Oh. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee-deep in hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects. It's Barry and Joel. Nick's taking care of some business. Should be back for the end of the show, so Tyler has gracefully allowed Nick to be able to be away as he steps in to fill in. You had a long day today, sir.
Yeah, you have.
No, not really.
Are you exhausted? This is such a tackling job that we do.
To be honest, I was a little hungover this morning.
Where are you from last night?
Yeah, but I went to bed at like 9 or 10.
See, I did too. I was supposed to.
Yeah. No, I was just drinking vodka and beer.
Doubles.
No.
Him and Nick, they took full advantage of the open bar.
Did they?
Oh, they did. Yes.
Okay.
I did not. I didn't.
You know I didn't.
No, because I'm not the guy that's going to drink if I have to drive myself. I'll have one or two, but I'm responsible. I'm a responsible adult. Plus, I'm a weak nut when it comes to drinking, so I can't. I got to control it. On our talk about travel, Kevin had a good point. Kevin Joseph on Twitter. And I didn't think about that, but he said, what about Miami to Portland? I figured just naturally, I'm thinking East Coast to West Coast, that Boston was the furthest. I didn't even think about Miami being for. Yeah, it's 7 hours. It's a 7 hour flight. So, there is, and you can't control that. I mean, if that's, you know, if that ends up in the finals, then that's one thing. But even so, I'm not going to feel bad for these guys to have to take a 7 hour flight. I'm sorry. It's a chartered flight.
Especially if you have 2 days between games, you know?
You got millions of dollars. Buy one of those little pillows that go around your neck and you can sleep on the plane.
Oh, they got plenty of those on the plane. But here's the thing. The NBA dictates the schedule. So when they know that they have a series like that, they're not going to put them real close together so that there is recovery time that takes into consideration that extra travel time.
Yep. One of the texters said, but if the Rockets are in the finals because they took the Warriors, I think you meant they, took the Warriors out in the Western Conference Finals, then there's a reason why they're at home. Yeah, there's a reason why they're at home, but that you've already played the championship if that was the two best teams in the regular season. That's the point. The point is if they meet in the playoffs, the Rockets and the Warriors, that's great. But if they're not meeting in the finals and they were the two best teams in the regular season, then you don't have a true championship series.
And that's why the seeding is done after the playoffs so that you can, you know, identify who the two top seeds and best teams should be. Because, you know, people could say all season long they're the best team in basketball. Injuries happen.
Yep.
Losing streaks happen, as we've seen, and things change. But what everybody wants is what Barry's talking about. The fact that if you get the two best teams, you don't want them to meet in the finals of the Western Conference. You want them to meet in the biggest series on the biggest stage for the year.
And there's no guarantee that they make it through the bracket. Let's be real. I mean, LeBron, when it comes to the playoffs, he is a men amongst boys sometimes. And he can will the rest of his team to the finals and through a bracket. There's no one's doubting that. But what I'm saying is at least you don't automatically squander that by saying that the two best teams are going to play in a conference championship and not have the opportunity for them to ever play in the NBA finals. And that's the point.
You look at the NCAA tournament. The one good thing about that is, yeah, sure, there's going to be some VCUs and some Butlers along the way. And sometimes a Final Four is going to get screwed. But overall, there's a reason why, in most cases, three of the final four final teams are ones or two seeds. Because they seeded it properly, because the highest seeds were playing the lowest seeds along the way, so that you are rewarded for what you were able to accomplish in the regular season and not punished when it comes time for the playoffs.
I'm with you.
So there you have that.
Josh and Beaumont said, Raheel and Dell claim to have the shortest wait times.
Right.
Fact.
But you guys should claim to be the most interactive show. No one else takes calls, uses Twitter, and reads text like you guys.
Fact.
I mean, we don't.
Yeah, suck it.
We don't mess with the text.
Suck it, you infiltrator.
Hey, I'll bombard this show again. for a whole hour.
Yeah, well, you're doing it now, but I wasn't even talking about the other day when you were throwing off our show and trying to make bad radio.
That was a computer issue. I was trying to actually highlight the sentence where it
You could
says,
have done it off air was my
but
point.
You were on you air, though.
Yeah, but you could have proven your point off air.
Yeah,
you were doing the Jack Nicholson.
You
weren't doing that. You were doing the Jack Nicholson from The Shining where you'd crack the door open and stick your face and be like, here's Johnny. Consider this rule.
Right.
We can handle it. We gotcha. But we are the most interactive without question.
No doubt. The best, this is a text from 936. The two best team argument is moot. I disagree. In no sport do the two best teams of each conference always make the finals.
Not always.
In the NBA, though, they're in the past, not so much now. In the article, I talk about the parity that does exist now. But in the past, the Western Conference has been so much deeper than the East. And when you have that, you miss out on an opportunity to have the two best teams potentially playing each other in the finals. That's it. That's what we're talking about. The potential of the two best teams. You still got to get through the bracket. Houston still has to get past teams like San Antonio or whatnot at some point. But if it's always an Eastern Conference and Western Conference, you never have the opportunity for the actual two best teams to play in the championship game.
No doubt. And look, we can switch gears.
Yeah, but we're beating a dead horse at this point.
Yeah, at this point, be happy your Rockets are in the discussion. Are concerned enough to say, hey, a Rockets-Warriors final is going to be great. It would be even better if it was in the NBA finals. They're not going to change it this year. But at least they're in the discussion, which means they're having a hell of a season. And again, capitalize on that, man. We'll go to get to some games in the regular season because playoff tickets are going to be hard. And you know how things can go in the playoffs. But celebrate how good this team is in the regular season.
Yeah, I was looking at because when I was doing this, I was looking at the standings. Is there a big surprise for you guys right now? Because I was looking when you see, I feel like Toronto has quietly taken a stranglehold on the East. I mean, winning seven in a row, watching Boston drop three in a row. The Cavs are going to make some noise because of the trades. But Toronto's not getting a lot of love. It's all about Boston. It's all about Cleveland.
But you know why, right? It's kind of the James Harden theory. Toronto, no matter how good they are in the regular season, always craps the bed in the playoffs. So all the reactions are tempered, just like the expectations, because they're like, yeah, that's fine. But they can be the number one seed all they want. When it comes time for the playoffs to begin, they're not going to be there in the end.
Yeah, that makes sense. But like, so does a team like is it a bigger surprise to see like Philly or Milwaukee at 6 or 7, or is it a bigger surprise for you to see Minnesota at 4, or even like a team like Denver?
I think Denver's the surprise of the entire league because everybody had Denver before the season as being a lottery team.
Yeah.
And now you look at the way Jokic plays and you look at some of their young guys and the way they've been able to mature and kind of fill roles. And you're like, man, when that team gets Paul Millsap back, who has hardly played for them all year, who's an all-star power forward, they could do some things. I think Minnesota, you and I talked about that a year ago, had enough talent to where they could have been a top four and they weren't. So this year, they're just doing what they're supposed to do. It is refreshing in the East to know that Philly and Milwaukee, bottom feeders for years, have a chance to at least make something happen in the playoffs.
Right. I'm with you.
Yeah, it should be fun. All right, we got one in the books, 2 more hours of the big show to go. Don't go anywhere. Plenty more of the usual suspects right around the corner. This is ESPN 97.5.
We grew old. We go back like futons and coupons. We too bad. We too wild. We too young.
ESPN 97.5.